Come on, let's begin to stand in this place. Come on, begin to lift your voice and your hands and begin to praise His name tonight. We worship You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we come to pray.
Give him praise. He holds me praise him. I gotta praise the Lord. I got a right to praise him. I gotta praise the Lord.
I've got a right to praise.
I got a right to praise.
No matter what's happening.
I gotta praise the Lord.
No matter what's going on.
I've got a right to praise.
I've still got a right to praise.
I gotta praise the Lord.
I'm gonna praise the Lord. Oh, stop thinking about what you're going through and think about his goodness. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I will yet praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we lift you up.
You up. Lord, we lift you up.
We're exalted.
service. Praise the Lord tonight from the depths.
From the depths of my soul.
Come on, do it tonight from the depths of your soul. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody lift up the name of the Lord in this house tonight. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus, on a Wednesday night. We magnify you, Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, oh, we glorify you, Savior. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Anybody got a praise in your heart tonight? Come, anybody got a praise in your heart tonight? Come on, we got a right to praise him. We got a right to praise him. We got a right to praise him. I'll give the Lord a hand clap of worship and praise in the house. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Please be faithful to your daily personal devotion. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Amen. Witness to somebody every day. Let's fill this church up. Amen. Let's not just wait till we get into the new building. I'm kind of tired of hearing when we get the new building. If we can't have church right now, what happens if the rapture takes place and we don't get in the new building? Let's have revival now. Let's be faithful to church now. Amen. Let's show up for church now. Amen. Let's be about the Father's business. There's a lot going on, a lot of great things going on. As Brother Urshan would say, it's a great time to be apostolic. Let's be apostolic. Let's celebrate what we are and who we are. Let's be faithful to church. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, that you'd bless the remainder of this service. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I woke up this morning with
Come on, let that hallelujah ring tonight. Oh, come on, somebody, let the hallelujahs roll. Come on, glory be to Jesus. Oh, we got some time tonight. It's still early. We can praise the Lord a little while. Come on, we might as well lift him up. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 14. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. No place I would rather be than the house of God. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is my prayer that our Wednesday nights and our Sunday nights, I'm almost afraid to say this, it's like that man that had the withered hand, said, Lord, make my hand like the other one. They both became withered. I want to be very specific. I want our Wednesday nights to look like our Sunday nights and not our Sunday nights looking like our Wednesday nights. Church has got to be a priority in your life. I've been saying this for 18 months that we've rented this building. We only have 2 services a week. We only get to have 2 services a week. I would make it a priority to be in every one I could be in. Comfortable or discomfortable? Uncomfortable. Just whatever it takes. Because I need church. I need church. I need God. I need the house of God. I need the people of God. When I'm by myself, I begin to think about all the things I lack, all the things that I want. And I start getting discouraged. Amen. It is never good to be alone with your own thoughts. Amen. And I've watched people wax worse. I'm not talking about sin. I've watched them wax worse from a lack of dedication and faithfulness and consecration to the things of God. You don't have to sin to be lost. You can just, as the Bible says, it wax cold. Unmoved, unchanged, unbothered. We need to get in our spirit that I was glad when they said unto me, it's church, I'm getting there. I'm going to be there. Whatever it takes. Thank God the woman with the issue of blood, she made her way to Jesus no matter what the issue. The blind man cried out all that much the more. When they could not get there, someone in the church carried them there, encouraged them to be there. In our world, it would be an encouragement to go by and pick somebody up, whatever it takes. But let's be faithful to the house of the Lord. And this is the reason why I really feel to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. In Matthew 14, we're going to skip down for the sake of time. Jesus, the Bible said, was walking on the water. The ship was in the midst of a sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. Anybody feel like the wind is contrary in life at times? They saw him walking on the sea, verse 26. They were troubled, saying, as a spirit, they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What was Peter thinking? If that's really you, I want to walk on the water as well. So Jesus told him, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What a miracle. This was not God Almighty in human flesh. This was Peter, flesh in flesh, no Holy Ghost. No baptism. Just a faith in Jesus. That if he's there, I want to be where he is. But then look what happens in verse number 30. But when he saw, everybody say saw. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You're walking on water, Peter. I don't know how far he was, but he had to get close enough to Jesus that Jesus could just reach out his hand and pick him up. He was fine as long as he was looking at Jesus. But when he started looking at the wind, how do you look at the wind? The wind's blowing. There's nothing there but whatever objects the wind picks up. The Bible said it began to sink. So I want to preach tonight, and I really do need the help of the Holy Ghost and this church. Where are we looking? Where are we looking? Let's lift our hands. Come on, all over this house. Come on, it's easy. It's easy for a pastor to look around the empty seats. It's easy for a saint of God to look at the missing folks. It's easy. Come on, it's easy if we're not careful to get our eyes on the wrong things. Come on, the wind is powerful. The wind is forcible. But I don't want to be aware of the wind. I don't want to notice the wind. I want to see Jesus. Come on, the Holy Ghost is trying to strengthen us right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is trying to help us right now. I don't want to see debt. I don't want to see doubt. I don't want to see all that I have being taken from me. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He's ministering already. Come on, I know you're weary. I know you're tired. I know it's been a long 18 months. I know it's been a long couple years. But what are you looking at? God, I love you today. God, I love you today. God, I love you today. God, I worship you today. Come on, one more time. Lift your voice. Lift your heart. Lift your hands. Lift your spirit. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you today. Where are we looking? God bless you. You can be seated. The Bible said he looked. He looked. He saw the wind boisterous. To look means to be aware, to perceive, to regard, or to take heed. He saw the wind boisterous. The wind was forcible. The wind was powerful. The wind was strong. The wind was valiant. But what we focus on will grow. What we focus on will grow. Peter saw the wind boisterous and began to sink. That word sink means to submerge or plunge down or drown. If we focus on our lack, if we focus on our debt, if we focus on our illness, if we focus on our ailments, if we focus on our vices, they will grow and they will drown us. If we focus on our job situations, it will grow and it will drown us. Can I tell you, Peter was literally walking in the miracle, but he lost focus and began to allow the miracle that once sustained him, he allowed the miracle that once held him up to be the thing that began to drown him. If we're not careful, we get our eyes off Jesus and we begin to plunge down into the depths of darkness, into the depths of a world unknown to us. But if we'll call on Jesus, he will immediately Come on, it wasn't the water. It wasn't the waves. It wasn't even the wind. It was where his eyes were looking that caused him problems. I'm going to tell you tonight, in the Holy Ghost, it's not your circumstance that's going to mess you up. It's not your financial need that's going to mess you up. It's not your job that's going to mess you up. It's what you're looking at. It's what you're focused on. Can I just say it tonight? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I know I'm going through something right now, but I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I know I'm going through a hard time right now, but I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Come on, don't look at the wind. Don't look at the wave. Don't look at the shortcoming. Don't look at the debt. Don't look at the hurt. But look at Jesus. Amen. Perception affects behavior. What we're looking at affects our worship. What we're looking at affects our praise. The Bible said in Psalm Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That word conversation means community or citizenship. It comes from the word to behave as a citizen, or how we live. Our behavior, our community, our citizenship. If it's of this world and we look at the political climate, we begin to get depressed and we begin to get down. If it's of this world and we look at all the things around us, the price of fuel and the price of groceries and the price of housing and just driving to church cost us money. If we look at all of that, we begin to get down and out. But my citizenship and my behavior is not predicated on what's around me. I perceive a Savior. I look for a Savior. I lift up mine eyes unto a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you? Can I just tell you tonight, it's expensive for everybody. And if we let our expenses keep us at a church, my God, we won't be a church. But if we walk and seek him first, he will add the things that we have need. Amen, amen. Our behavior cannot be predicated on those things around us. Our job choices. I'm not preaching generically tonight. I'm preaching specifically. Our job choices, our hobby choices, our time choices cannot be predicated on the things around us. Because it's as bad for you as it is for me, and me as it is for you. I remember John Shoemake preaching to his church during the pandemic. The Bible tells us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction. Not time to flee to another place. It's not time to run to another place. It's not time to get out of where you are. It's time to lift up your eyes and start looking at the right thing. We tend to focus on the negative and doubt the positive. I was talking about this at peak to a few people. Isaiah 38:1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord." Boy, talk about preaching. "Set thine house in order." Can I just stop right here? Every one of us need to do this every once in a while. Well, I got quiet. Every one of us need to make sure our house is in order. Every time we leave the house, every time we leave a prayer meeting, every time we leave a service, we don't know what's on a day. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I just read today about an 18-year-old girl that got in a fight with a 19-year-old girl right here in the city of Nampa. got in her car, ran that 19-year-old over and killed her. So, well, I'm not in that situation. Yeah, but you don't know when a blown-out tire. You don't know when someone else is going to blow. We're just right now, as my wife and I were pulling up to church, some guy on a little dirt bike come flying around the corner, almost hit us. I don't care how small that vehicle was. He was going so fast, he would have come to the windshield. On my way to church, you just never know. Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He said, remember thou, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. Hezekiah believed the report of death. Hezekiah believed the report that the man of God told him, I'm going to die. But before the man of God even left the property, before the man of God even got out of the courts, the Lord said unto him, go tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so Isaiah the prophet turns back around, walks into Hezekiah and says, this is what the Lord said. I know I told you yesterday you're going to die, but today he's heard your prayers and you're going to live. And Hezekiah said, prove it. Hezekiah said, I don't believe it. Prove it. Where's the sign? Why do we focus so much on the negative and doubt and question the positive? You're going through a trial. You're going through a heartache. And the man of God comes with a word from God and says, not much longer now. If you'll do thus and thus, if you'll pray thus and thus, God's going to bless you. And the answer is, prove it. Show me. Give me a sign. I'm giving you the same sign as you got the first time. The same sign was a word from God. The same sign. The difference is, what are you focused on? What are you living for? Come on. Convince me, preacher. Convince me this is the blessed place I can be. Convince me I should be in the house of God. I'm trying to do my best, but I'm telling you, you got to learn how to practice. You got to learn how to focus. Why is it that we so quickly accept the negative, expect the worst, embrace the bad news, but are so apprehensive to believe that good can come from our prayers? I just heard this the other day. I've been praying that prayer for years. As if, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but it hasn't come to pass yet. So what do you do? What's the alternative? Stop praying? Stop believing? Stop showing up? Stop being faithful just because you've been praying it hasn't been answered? You don't know that the prayer might have been sent the day you started praying it. And the prince of the power of the air may have been, come on now. Daniel was praying from the first day. But the prince of Persia resisted the angel. He didn't stop praying because it was 21 days. He kept on praying. I'm here to tell you tonight, quit focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you have and understand that God is able. Yeah. Amen. While we look, he said, our light, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. I know this is very difficult. I got the text tonight before church. I got the calls before church tonight. I got all the people saying. And then there was some I didn't get. And I come to church trying to touch God and build a church and encourage the church. And I'm sorry. I'm a human being. I got human nature just like you do. Bible says he was a like passion. I'm trying to see God build something. I know why people struggle. But they don't want to hear from the preacher why they're struggling. All they want to focus on is their struggle. Can I just preach it tonight? Some people were better off when they were struggling because they had to depend on God. That's why God can't trust some folks with wealth. God can't trust some folks with riches. And he can't trust some folks with blessings because they forget the Lord their God. Come on, Peter. You're walking in miracles. You're actually living in miracles. And somehow you're getting your eyes off the one that said, come. Can I just tell you, if the Lord said come, you're going to get all the way to where he is and all the way he wants you to get if you'll keep your eyes upon him. The things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Because the things we see right here, right now, are temporal. God, I understand we're going through some heartaches right now. I understand we're suffering some loss right now. But what you see right here, right now, is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There's some things going on that we don't see right now. But God is operating in the eternal. If we could focus on him and not focus on the things that are in front of us, God said, I got an eternal weight because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. This message has been on my spirit even before peak. Just yesterday, I was listening to a podcast as I was doing some work outside. Spent about 6 or 7 hours outside working yesterday and just trying to get some things, because you know what? We all got weeds. Well, if you live in an apartment, then I guess you don't. But we all got grass needs to be mowed, and we all got weeds. We got things falling apart. I was thinking yesterday as I walked into our church office in our house. This project that got started right before the church building got started is going to have to be redone by the time the project's over, because all the pre-work is getting beat up while we're waiting for to get back to it. And we walk by and we see weeds. And sometimes when I get home and I pull in the house and I see weeds growing everywhere, I get depressed. And I feel like the world's falling apart. I'm just being honest tonight. I'm being vulnerable. I'm just telling you, there's certain things. If I can't see progress here, I got to see progress somewhere. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to start pulling some weeds, and I'm going to start doing some stuff. And I did not pick up Kondra. Kondra's sitting there going, I missed out on some money. No, you wouldn't want to be there with me yesterday. It is safer for you to be away, praise God. You know, you get that hula hoe out there, and you get those rakes out there, and you just start letting your frustrations go until you get on your hands and knees and start pulling out the thorns and the briars and the goat heads. You know what? You know the problem about goat head? Anybody ever seen goat head weeds? You ever seen them? You know, I looked one time at a goat head weed in the middle of we first bought that property. There's a big open area. There was a 10-foot, like it was massive, 10-foot diameter of this weed, just full. I started pulling it back, trying to find the root, and it was one root. It was one root right in the middle of all that. And I thought, that's the reason why we need to make sure we don't let a root of bitterness get in us. Because if that thing springs up, it defiles many. I can't tell you how many goat heads we have stepped on, had folks step on because of one root. So I'm looking over by the play set, and I'm glancing down. I told my wife, I said, I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, we haven't had goat heads in a long time. All of a sudden, we got a big old patch of them. And so I'm listening to podcasts, and I'm listening to spiritual things, trying to get my mind in the right place. And I prayed and read my Bible and did all that, but I was trying. God, we're going through some trials here, God. And as I'm listening to all this and I'm trying to find these, I wish there was just one root, but I'm telling you what, there were so many. There were so many plants. I thought, if I don't take care of this right now, if I don't dig this out right here, right now, we're going to have an epidemic. Church, you got to get things out of your spirit before they get so big That they drag you out and keep you out and mess you up. So Brother McKillop was saying, and I believe this to be true. In fact, I texted him and said, man, you can't do this. You can't convict me like this. We are a lot better at keeping track of our lack than we are of keeping track of our abundance. Well, we are a lot better at keeping track of our lack than we are of keeping track of our abundance. He told the story of, in the first part of his ministry, how some people left. He said, I knew exactly who they were, where they went, where they were going. I could tell it. We can tell our ailments. We can tell our debts. We can tell our discomforts. We can tell all the things we're going through down to the minute detail. Where it was, where it happened. We know it exactly. May not be bitter. May not be angry. But I'm keeping track of what I lost. We're praying. Sometimes as we're praying, our mind wanders all over those circumstances, those situations, and we feel justified. Well, they left, not me. They did this, not me. It was that coworker. It was that boss. It was that. We rehash it again. But that still small voice asked, how much have I added to you? There are people in this house tonight. There are people who are home tonight. They're not home just because they're sick. They're not home just because that they've got work. They're home tonight because they're allowing the lack. They're allowing the disappointments to coupled with. I'm preaching to the church tonight. They're allowing their lack coupled with what they're going through physically, financially, or mentally. And all they can focus on is the loss. All they can focus on is the disappointment. All they can focus on is what they don't have. But can I tell you, can you remember what God has added to you? Can you remember what God has added? Yeah, I know the story. I've rehearsed it over and over. But if I look back and see where he brought me from, I'm a mighty long way. I'm a mighty long way. Yes, there's loss in life, but there are also wins. Yes, there are losses in life, but there are also victories. It's what we focus on that matters.
Man, Philippians 3:7, but Paul said, but what things were gained to me? What things were gained to me? I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Understand, Paul's not just talking about a little bit of citizenship, a little bit of wealth. He had position. He had authority. He had all those things on both sides of the fence. He said, I count them as dung that I may win Christ. All the things I've given up, it's just dung. All the things I've lost, relationships, job opportunities, educational opportunities, position. It's just dung because I won Christ. See, here we are in the church, full of the Holy Ghost, living a good life, and all we can see is the things we don't have. All we can focus on is the things that we don't have. We tend to keep track of the loss while we lose track of what we've gained. We tend to keep track of the loss. God wants us, and I'm telling you, I'm being vulnerable tonight. God wants me to focus on the church setup. He wants me to focus on the empty chairs. He wants me to focus on all the distractions. You know how hard it is to preach with all the distractions that go on in a church service? You know how hard it is to keep the mind of God and keep continuity with the things of God with all the distractions that go on in a service. And then I got a fly flying in front of my face while I'm trying to preach to a church. And God's saying, come on, come on, keep pushing. You're reaching for people. And so I keep pushing and I keep reaching for people. And they don't even understand why I'm pushing as hard as I am, because all they can think about is the loss and the lack. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you look back at where you were a few years ago, if you look back at where you were a few months ago, God has added. It's time to start looking at the add, at the abundance, at the blessings. Hey, amen. I'm almost done. Brother Tipton said this. Lord willing, I'll have Brother Tipton and Brother McKillop at a men's conference this year. If not this year, we'll try to do it next year. Everything that we need to do the will of God is right now, always within reach. We can't complain about what we don't have. Can I tell you something, church? There's enough people in this house tonight, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and focus on the right thing, to turn this city upside down. There's enough people in this house tonight, if we can get our minds gathered in, get the distraction minimalized, there's enough Holy Ghost in this house tonight to turn your family's world upside down, to turn your situation on its ear, because everything we need to do the will of God right now is within our reach. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power to overcome. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power to conquer. If you got the Holy Ghost, we have no right to complain. We have no right to worry about what we don't have. We don't have a big choir, but we got singers. We don't have a big brass section, but we got musicians. We don't have bus ministry, but we got a van. We don't have, yeah, I understand that, but let's focus on what we have. And when we come here, let the folks that are here worship like you're here. We cannot go down the road of, well, so-and-so has it, but we don't. You can't look at what you think you lack. You've got to keep your focus on the one who is abundance and that has all sufficiency and will let you abound in that sufficiency if you will let him. To the measure we steward loss, to the measure we steward sickness, to the measure we steward financial struggles, is the measure he allows us to get gain. More money will make you more of what you already are. That's not Bible, that's Dave Ramsey, but that's truth anyhow. If you're stingy, if you're unfaithful, and you get more money, you will be stingy and unfaithful. Your amount of money that you make does not mean you pay your percentage of tithe and offering differently. It's based on a percentage of the heart. It's based on a percentage of your willingness to give it. It's based on what you purpose in your heart. If you're waiting to give when everything's fixed, you're never going to give. If you're waiting to put in when everything feels right, you're never going to do it. If you're waiting till everything gets right to experience life, you're never going to experience life. Quit focusing on what you lack and focus on what you have. Yeah. Focusing on loss and disappointment in things or people. Could I just be honest tonight? There are people in this church that I am sorely disappointed with at times. I don't just mean this crowd. I mean the church in general and the church that has been. The church that was, the church that is, the church that will be. You're going to suffer loss and disappointment with people. They're not going to call you when you want them to call. They're not going to show up when you want them to show up. They're not going to be there. That's just life. But if we focus on loss and disappointment in things circumstances, or people, if we're not careful, it will lead to resentment. You'll start resenting people, and then everything they do is your focus. Every time they're not where they're supposed to be, that's what you think about. Every time they don't do what they're supposed to do, that's what you think about. I know it's hard because you want everybody there clapping and worshiping and shouting because for their good. But can I tell you, they're just not going to. In 17, almost 18 years of pastoring, I've not found a people that the whole world, the whole church, in fact, in 40-some years of living for God, I've never seen a church with 100% participation. But can I tell you, as long as there's somebody participating, that's... As long as somebody's showing up, that's what we have to look at. Come on, guard your heart. Stay focused on God of abundance. And that is sufficient, always more than enough. Can I tell you? He never lacks. He never fails. He never comes up short. He never misses it. My God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Amen. I'm telling you, I've driven by the LDS church on Eustick. It's great. I thought it was bad driving by Burger King on Karcher, watching them get their permit after us. Watching them start work after us. And they've been selling burgers in that place for months. In fact, some of you traders have ate burgers there. You've gone there where you know they started after us, and you still ate burgers there. You supported them, traders. But here's the problem. There's an LDS church on Eustick that started way after us. And they're done, they're landscaped, everything's ready. And I drive by and I say, it must be nice to have that budget. Must be nice to not have to worry about where it's coming from. I mean, hey, they got four of them within a mile of our church. And they're all done. They all got landscaped. They all got parking lots. They didn't forget to put irrigation line in for their parking lot landscape. And God's saying, hey, I'm bigger than their God. Can I tell you, if I had their budget, if I had their staff, I'd be lost just like them. If I had the health or the wealth, I could really do something for God. That's focusing on the lack. But whatever you need to accomplish the will of God is already within your reach. I don't know how God is going to do it. But I do know this. If I quit looking at what I don't have. If I quit looking at what I don't have. And start looking at the God that is our provider. Can I tell you, he knows what he's about to do. Even if he doesn't tell me. God knows what he's fixing to work on and change, even if he doesn't tell me about it. I mentioned this Sunday night, but I'm going to mention it again tonight. Sometimes he won't even explain what he means by it. He said to them in John chapter 6, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they thought, what in the world is that? He didn't explain himself. He didn't tell him what he was doing. He didn't tell him what that meant. He didn't tell him what that was prophetic to. And people heard that and they thought, this is gross. This is crazy. This doesn't make sense. And the Bible says in verse 6 and 66, that's a scary verse to be a part of, that they left and quit following him. And he turned to Peter and said, will you leave me also? And Peter said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to turn? You know, it's easy to follow God when there are no other options. It's easy to follow the will of God when there are no other options. I can't get myself out of this if I can go work a job and provide for my family at the expense of my walk with God. I'm doing it wrong. If I got to worry about this at the expense of my faithfulness, I'm doing something wrong. There are no other options. Isaiah 45 and 22 said, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none else." Can I tell you why I look to him? There is nobody else. I tell you why I praise him? There is nobody else. There's not a God beside him. There's not a God in front of him. There's not a God behind him. Where are we going to go? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. He said, look, when you're going through a trial and you're going through a heartache, look to me, because there are no other options. When you're going through, I'm going to preach to this church tonight because we got some folks in this situation. You go through financial burdens, and the first thing you think of, take another job, work whatever hours I got to work. I got to provide. If that's your option, if that's your backup plan, put God first, seek ye first kingdom of God. Yeah, I understand that, but I still got to provide for my family. It just said he knows what you have need of. If your backup plan is you, I'm not talking about on the occasion. I'm not talking about there are times and seasons where you got to work late, you got to do what. I'm not talking. I'm talking about constant, scheduled, missing. Well, it's just one service a week. Is it one service a week? I could go through the roll. I don't even look at them anymore. My wife gives them to me. I just put them in a pile. I don't even look at them anymore. I got so tired of seeing people highlighted week after week after week after week after week. I thought all that does is mess me up. When it's consistent, it's because you're looking at lack and you think you're the option. You think you're the answer. And guess what? If that's your thing, it's going to be that way forever. It will always be that way. But when there are no other options, it's amazing what God can do when he's the only option. It's amazing what God can do when everybody's looking to him. Save me. Save me. Sometimes options aren't good. Looking, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what I'm doing? I'm focused on Jesus. Watch therefore and pray. Don't they mean the same thing? Yes, prayer and watch kind of mean the same thing, but watch means to anticipate. Prayer is I'm hoping, but watching is I'm anticipating. I'm looking for that glorious appearing. I'm looking into that hope. If we had hope only in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. But my hope is not in this life. It's not in my checking account. It's not in my savings account. It's not my rich uncle. It's not my inheritance. It's not any of that. It's in Jesus. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm focused on Jesus. I'm closing with this. I got done with all this message. I saved it. Get ready to pray it out. All of a sudden, these two scriptures came to my mind. I made a covenant with mine eyes. The rest of that scripture is, why would I look on a maid? I understand that's talking about I'm not going to lust after, I'm not going to pursue after. But can I also say, you need to make a covenant with your eyes. You're not going to focus on the worthless. That's what that word means. That the covenant means I made an agreement to not look at evil. I made an agreement not to look at doubt. I made an agreement not to look at the doctor's report. Can some of us make an agreement not to look up the symptoms on the internet? Can some of us make an agreement not to add to our misery? Can some of us make an agreement with our eyes that we're going to look to Jesus? Psalm 101 and 3, I will set no wicked. This is where it says worthless, no prophet or destructive. I will set no, hey, you looked at the bill already. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying it lay before the Lord. And be faithful in your tithe and offering. And be faithful in your attendance to church. And watch God work. Quit looking at the, quit projecting things that aren't going to be there. I will set no wicked thing, no worthless thing, no profitable, unprofitable thing, no destructive thing before mine eyes. And I was going to cut it off right there and just not even get the rest of the scripture. But then I started reading. It said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. I hate the work of them that turn aside. What does it mean to turn? We know that Moses, he said, I will now turn aside and see. He saw this burning bush. He's like, what in the world's going on? He had to turn to look at it. So that means if you turn, you change your focus. The psalmist said, I hate them that turn aside. I looked up that phrase, turn aside. What does that mean? I thought it was going to say focus. I thought it was going to say something about looking. You know what it said? That practice wrongly. That fits with Sunday night, church. It works in practice. It not only works in theory, it works in practice. And I don't want to be associated with people who practice wrongly. I don't want to be a part of the work of people who think I'm going to do it my way and God and I have an agreement. Let me tell you something. God only has one agreement, and it's his word. And I'm going to follow that word. And God only has one word about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Come on, church. For what are we looking at? Come on, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the wealth? Are we looking at the ability? Are we looking at the talent? Are we looking at the lack? Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, the devil's got you looking at other things. The devil's got you looking at things that aren't right. I'm not saying you're going places on the internet. I'm not saying you're going places on your phone. What I'm saying is that you're looking at things that cause you to be distracted. Your job is not the most important thing in your life. Your career is not the most important thing in your life. Your checking account, savings account, and investments are not the most important thing in your life. Your walk with God and your family being saved is the most important thing. Come on, I'm not watching the news. I'm not watching the stock market. I'm not watching the price of fuel. I'm getting what I need. I'm doing the best I can. I'm focused. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my convictions. Come on, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? What are we looking at? I'm preaching to the preacher tonight. I'm as convicted about this as y'all should be. I got to make sure my focus is on the right thing. I got to make sure my focus is on the right thing. People are going to disappoint. People are going to fail. But they're just human beings. I got to look at them in the way Jesus looks at them. I got to hope for them the way Jesus hopes for them. Come on, don't let the miracle God's let you walk in right now be the thing that drowns you and kills you. Don't let the miracle that you're walking in right now be the thing that swallows you up. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you got the choice to make it benefit God. If the choice can be made, make it benefit God. Make it benefit the house of God. Make it benefit the things of God. Come on, we can recite the loss from memory. God, by your Spirit today, Jesus. God, by your Spirit, Jesus. God, I love you today. 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 You know how I know this is right? You know how I know I'm in the right vein tonight? Because when we pulled up for church just before prayer, the gate was locked. And I said this to pause. I got out of the car. I hate this church. Why is this gate locked? Why can't we just have church where we're supposed to be able to have church? And then I walked in and people were missing and things were going on and text messages came in. And I thought, devil, that's what you want me to focus on. But we started singing and we started worshiping. We started praising God. The Spirit of God began to move. My flesh still wanted to be mad at what wasn't happening the way I wanted it to happen. And I thought, devil, you're not winning tonight. That's all right for a preacher to say that's how we feel, because that's how you come to church sometimes too. Let your day, let your weariness, let your ailments, let whatever. Can I just give a shout out to Brother Ken? Saturday night, we prayed for him. Monday morning, Tuesday, he's in the hospital having heart procedure. And he kept telling me. They told me every time I talked to Sister Jerry, she said, we'll see you Wednesday night. And I thought, well, I mean, come on. You just had a stent put in. But guess who's here? Give honor to whom honor is due. I mean, some folks would take that as a month sabbatical. Well, but someone who's been around a while, but I know where my help comes from. And if this thing don't turn out, I got no other options. We got to get that way, church. There are no other options but to live for God. And if that is the only option, then how we do it matters. It only doesn't matter if we don't care if we're living for God or not. But if it matters, I got to do it right. I got to do it right. I got to do it right. Come on, one more time, lift our hands. Come on, it's my job as the preacher to make sure that we steward the things of God. It's my job as a preacher to give you the right advice, the right counsel on how you need to be saved. It's my job as a preacher to come on and say the hard things sometimes. But you know what? If you put it to practice, if you look to Jesus, it becomes easier and easier. It becomes better and better. It There's too many people in Pentecost going through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. I preached too long. It's 8:44. But I heard Brother Doug Walker said this the other day. And I don't even know if I'm not even going to say the word that he said. But it's a French word that I think it was avant-garde. It meant that these people were so far ahead of us. They've surpassed us so much. Response or was related to the special forces in that day. That they would go so far into enemy lines that they were just elite. But they've started putting this title on art and on different things. And this is what was so crazy. He said they did an art museum. And a guy went in. This guy was part of this like huge museum. He's the one that kind of set the prices on what art's worth. And he goes in. He goes in and he's looking at this art, and there's a white wall. And on this white wall is a banana duct taped to the wall. He's like, what have we become? What in the world has the art world become? What happened to Van Gogh? What happened to Michelangelo, what happened to all these, the Mona Lisa, what, a banana duct taped to a white wall? The man that bought it paid $6 million for it and had to eat the banana before it went rotten. And this, and his whole point was, and that is what preaching in this modern world has become. The people put a value on it. And they're so avant-garde, they're so ahead of us that we just don't understand and comprehend. No, you just put value on something that's fixing to die. I refuse to come to church and duct tape a banana on the pulpit and let people go to hell because they feel good about themselves. This is supposed to be a thriving church. It's supposed to be a revival church. God's doing too much for us to just sit back and focus on what we don't have. Yes, you know what? We kind of make fun of some folks that just, they call themselves certain things and they have all these departments and all these things. But you know what? At least they're not sitting there going, well, we don't have this and we don't have that. We can't be this and we can't be that. You got to dress the way you want to have church. You got to act the way you want to have church. You got to be the way you want to have church. I've never been looked at as a small church because we don't worship small. Let's not get in the attitude. Well, we're just here. It's just going to, no. Let's get away everything we got. Let's look to Jesus. Come on. One more time, give him praise. One more time. Give him glory. One more time. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, anybody feel the Holy Ghost tonight? Come on, anybody feel the Holy Ghost tonight? I ask one more time. What are we looking at? Let's focus on Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. Greet somebody before you leave the house of the Lord. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.